You're listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ, teaching and worshiping God in the beautiful New York State counties of Orange and Rockland.
Today I want to talk about generosity, and I want to especially talk about generosity in association with missions, because we do have our special contribution coming up on June 11th, and this is an opportunity for us to be generous. It's also an opportunity for us to see the need around us to reach the world. And so I wanted to just take a moment looking at a scripture together and talk really specifically about being generous people and having an attitude that we're going to be generous and that we are going to be givers. We don't talk much about giving in the church, and I feel like that's okay, because we talk a lot about sacrifice. We talk a lot about surrender, but it is a great biblical topic, and it is a challenge to our heart. Giving is a challenge to our heart. I want to talk about it in terms of generosity today, because even as Paul talks about giving in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, he does use the word generosity quite often in that passage. And as I was reading through this passage of Scripture, I came to the realization that 2 Corinthians is 13 chapters long. Paul spends two of those 13 chapters talking about giving. And so it is an important topic. It was important to Paul to talk about this topic. And he also does it in terms of being generous people. He also does it in terms of talking about the mission. Most of what he's talking about in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 is giving for the needs of the church in Jerusalem that was undergoing an intense famine at the time. And so it was a special contribution in a sense. But it was really to meet the needs of the disciples there in Jerusalem that were suffering. And there we have a lot of needs around us. And the way to meet those needs is to have a generous heart. Now, I think of the things that we read a moment ago about missions, helping out the works in the Caribbean, the works in Africa, the works in New York State. We'll be talking more about those in the next few Sundays. All of those are great works. And one of the things that we focused on today was the idea of the Ministry Training Academy, raising up young leaders. And the goal of the Ministry Training Academy, basically it's a three-year program. We go down to Philadelphia every year. We've done this for 3 years now. And we take two classes there. We take another class over the summer together. And we take a fourth class during the winter break. And if a student comes into our Ministry Training Academy during his sophomore year of college, he'll be able to graduate college and the Ministry Training Academy at the same time. And that's our goal, is to have some people more equipped and ready for the ministry when they graduate college through our Ministry Training Academy. And I'm happy to say that this is our third year of doing this. And so this summer, some of the students, this will be their third summer. And it means that they will be finishing up their coursework. And we got one guy especially, there's more than one, but one guy that I think of, Matt Rupert, he's graduating college this year. In fact, he graduates this month. And Matt is not only graduating that, but he'll also be finishing up his coursework, graduating our Ministry Training Academy program. And Matt's going to be graduating college, being put straight into the ministry here in New York, more equipped and ready for the ministry because we've had this Ministry Training Academy going for the past 2 years now. This is our third summer to do this Ministry Training Academy. And that will just now continue. There'll be kids coming into the program that are college kids, and as they're graduating college, they will be more equipped and ready for the ministry because they will have gone through the Ministry Training Academy. Matt, for example, will have taken a New Testament survey, Old Testament survey, church history, exegesis, which is biblical interpretation, 1 and 2. He'll also have taken expository preaching, which is super helpful, Christian counseling and Christian discipling, courses like this. And so the opportunity for him to take those courses alongside of whatever he's studying in college is a great opportunity for a young man like Matt. And, you know, some people go off to Bible schools to be able to get this type of training. What we want to do is take kids that are in campus, on campus, doing the ministry on campus, and bring the Bible school to them. And essentially that's what's happening and what has happened with Matt Rupert, and we're very, very excited about that. And so as we are generous and as we give, I want you to understand that it's helping real people, helping them with their lives, but it's also going to provide leadership to help other people in the future. So if you look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and then I've got three quick points to make from this one passage right here. You guys with me? Awesome. Okay, it says here, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up into rich generosity." You see the word there. They're generous. "Even though they were poor, they were generous. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability," which is a true sign of generosity, "their sacrifice. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." It says, "And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." It's a great passage of Scripture, and it does talk about generosity. And I want to make three points. The first point is, generosity begins by giving yourself to God. That's where generosity begins. And so if you're going to be a generous person, it starts with you deciding, "I'm going to give myself to God." Generosity begins with surrender. Surrendering your life to God so that God is going to work through you. For the Macedonians, they began their generosity by first surrendering their lives to God. And for all of us that are going to be generous as well, we learn generosity from Jesus and we learn it from God and we surrender our lives to him. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And this is something God gives us when we surrender our lives to him. And so when we become disciples, God fills us up. We surrender and empty our lives for him, but he fills us up with his Spirit. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So where does kindness begin? Where does sacrificing for others begin? It begins by surrendering our lives to Jesus and then letting his Spirit fill us up with his fruit. So we become generous people by surrendering to God. You know, for many of us, we've done this. We've surrendered our lives. But I have to ask you, is your life as surrendered today as it's ever been? Some of us remember our baptisms. And I have to say, one of the great things about seeing so many young people baptized this semester, it calls you back to your own baptism. It calls you back to your own decision of making Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, can you say today that you are more surrendered to God than when you were baptized? More surrendered than you've ever been. You know, the thing about a baptism is, a baptism means immersion. It means to be dunked, to be plunged, to go all the way under. And really it connects us with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. You can see this in Romans chapter 6. Jesus died on the cross. He was put completely in the grave. And then he rose from the grave. And that's what we do in baptism. We die to ourselves. We surrender our lives to Jesus. We make Jesus Lord. And we surrender. And then we are plunged into the grave, the watery grave. And for some of these students this past week, that watery grave was really cold because it was not heated water. They went into a cold, cold grave. But then the last thing is you come out through the resurrection power of Jesus, and he gives you a new life. And so you come out resurrected to live a new life just as Jesus rose from the dead. And that's the beauty of baptism. It's really capturing and reenacting what Jesus did. And we are actually going through those steps with Jesus, dying, being buried, coming up and living a new life. But you put somebody all the way in the water, all the way in the grave, because they have to surrender everything. Now, I've never seen a baptism where somebody goes down into the water, and all of a sudden, before they get all the way under, they're sticking their arm up. You know, and their arm just won't go under. And they have their clenched, their fist clenched really, really tight. And then you open up their fist, and inside it is their wallet. You know, it doesn't work that way. If you're going to go all the way under and surrender your life, it's everything that you have. It's all of your possessions, all of your money, all of your time. It's your choices in life. It's your job. It's your family. It's your children. It's your intellect. It's whatever skills and talent that God has given you. It's everything. You can't keep anything out of the baptistry. You can't look over to the guy next to you and say, here, hold on to this while I get baptized, because that's not going down with me. You know, you got to make a decision that everything is going into that grave, that everything that you own, everything that you are, who you are as a person, that it's all going to get baptized, that you're giving it all to God. And that's exactly what these Macedonians did. You know, they gave themselves first to Jesus. And so when the opportunity came to give more, they were ready. And even out of their extreme poverty, they still sacrificed because they had that heart. You know, one of my favorite songs, it's an old song, but it goes, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will gladly love and serve him. In his presence, daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. And that has to be the attitude when we come to Jesus, that we're just surrendering everything. And so then generosity becomes a part of who we are. We become generous people. And that's who we are because we've given our all to Jesus. So have you surrendered your life to Jesus? That's where generosity begins. Have you surrendered your ego, surrendered your pride, surrendered your marriage, surrendered your family, your time, your possessions, your talent, your dreams, your goal, your job, your desires? Have you surrendered all to Jesus? Point number two, generosity is an act of grace. It's an act of grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, so we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness and in love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Giving is called grace here. It's a grace of God. In other words, it's not that we have to give to God. It's that we get to give to God. And that's a difference in attitude. You know, just like today, I have to come to church, or I get to come to church because I've been saved, because I am responding by grace. You know, this idea of grace is found in verse 4, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9. I mean, it just appears over and over and over again. It's very interesting. The word for grace is the same word for gift. So when he says give, he's also saying grace. Because of God's grace, we have the opportunity to give. They're just tied together. But when you give, do you have that attitude? Or is giving more for you a drudgery? Is it more of a work Is it more of something you feel like, well, I have to do this? If so, we need to change our attitude, because that's not generosity. Generosity is not giving under duty. Generosity is giving because you feel that you have an opportunity to give and you want to give. That's being generous. Now, we can make sacrifices, but do we have the right attitude as we sacrifice? Generosity is an act of grace where we respond to God's generosity toward us by being generous with what He has given us. That's what generosity is. So, you have to realize, and this is what's important, realizing that giving is an act of grace, or generosity is an act of grace. And that is, before you have given anything, God has already given you His everything. You get that? Before you have given anything in your life, God has already given you everything. And He did that through Jesus on the cross. Because Jesus died for us, we have an opportunity to live for Him. And that's grace. Grace is the idea, not that I have to, but that I get to, because of what God has done for me. You know, work says, it's Sunday, I have to go to church. Grace says, it's Sunday, I get to go to church. Work says, I have to share my faith today. Grace says, I have an opportunity to share my faith today. Work says, I have to read my Bible today. If I don't, somebody might call me up and ask me. And so I need to be ready. And that's a works attitude. Grace is, I have been given the Word of God. It's right here at my fingertips. How can I not read it? How can I not just enjoy the gift God has given me? Same with prayer. Work says, I have to pray today. Grace says, I get to talk to the eternal God of the universe today. And that's the idea of grace. And it's the same thing with being generous with what we have. Work says, I have to give to special contribution. Grace says, I have the opportunity. I get to give to special. And I'm grateful for the opportunity. You know, most of you know that Lee and I, we have a grandson now. His name is Bradley. And he's such a joy to us in our lives. He celebrated his one-year birthday recently. And Chelsea and Rob, they threw a birthday party for him. And, it was fun to be there. We had a great time there. At first, you know, I went and I was ready to do whatever needed to be done to make the party great. And Chelsea, she gave me a job to do. She said, Dad, I want you to keep the music going. Just make sure there's Beatles music playing the whole time. And, you know, I was like, okay, I'll do that. But in my heart, I was thinking, that's my job? This is my grandson. I'm going to keep the music going. That's really my job. And then, so I was doing that. But then I noticed that Bradley was just sort of, you know, scooting around. And I noticed that there were times which I didn't think anybody else had eyes on him. So I just started following him around. And, you know, I kept the music going, but then I started following him around. And then Chelsea, she came up to me and she said, oh, Dad, that's a better job for you. Can you keep up with Bradley today? And in my heart, I was thinking, that's what I wanted anyway. That's the job I was looking for, to keep up with Bradley today, because that's not a job. That's just grace. To have a grandson, you get to follow him around, and he loves going upstairs and downstairs. He knows how to get up, you know, but you still have to stand behind him the whole way. He has a little clue of how to get down, but he's not very good at it. So you have to help him down. And so for most of the party, that's what I was doing, going up the stairs and down the stairs and up the stairs and down the stairs. And I was tired, but you know what? It was a great tired, because he's my grandson. And when you're doing something for your grandson, it's not works. It's like, I get to do this. This is awesome. I'd rather do nothing else today than be with my grandson. And it's just that sense. And that's the same sense we need to have with God. That it's not a matter of, I have to do this. I get to do this because He's done so much for me. Before we've done anything, God has already given His everything. And that's grace. And when we understand grace, Then we're happy to give. Then we become generous people because we understand that no matter what we give, we will never, ever outgive God because he's already given us all for us. But point number three is generosity imitates Jesus. And you see that in the text right here as well. 2 Corinthians 8:8-9, it says, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. So he mentions the grace of Jesus here and uses him as an example. Jesus, although he was rich in heaven with God, did not count that something to be grasped onto and clung to. That's Philippians chapter 2. And so he emptied himself. He literally just surrendered and came to earth. And here he lived a perfect life, was crucified on the cross for our sins, buried, rose from the dead to give us new life. And because of that, we get to be rich in Christ. And that doesn't mean rich in the sense of possessions. It means spiritually rich. Jesus will give us every spiritual blessing. And so we get to imitate what Jesus did. And when we do that, we become generous people. You want to know how to be more generous? Look at Jesus. Study his life. Become more like him. In doing so, you'll learn how to, as Luke puts it, and actually the words of Jesus, take up the cross daily. What does that mean? Surrender every day. Die every day. And when you do that, as Jesus did, you become a more generous person. You know, it's interesting with children. One of the words that children learn early on is the word mine. You see them sitting around with other kids. Some kid wants to reach out and touch their toy, mine. And they cling to it. And they cling to it tight. Their knuckles, you know, just grab hold and it becomes a vice grip. And they're mine. And as a parent, you're like, where in the world did that child learn that word? How in the world do you even know that word? And I think, you know, it's society. It's just the way that we are, is that we look at our possessions and we think, oh, that's mine. And other kids around are the same way, mine. But we immediately start teaching our children what? Share. Share. So they say mine, you're like, share. And you're like, no share, mine, you know? But that's what you want. You want them to have that generous heart. It makes you so proud when they get it. And there's another child sitting there that has no toy. And they're willing to hand their toy off to that child. And you're like, yeah, that's my boy right there. Yeah, that's my little girl. Because it just makes you so thrilled. They're getting it. They're getting the idea of sharing. And I think that's how God is with us also. He's given us everything that we enjoy in life, but he wants us to share. He wants us to be generous with people around us. And Jesus teaches us that. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus at all times because Jesus shows us what it means to be generous. His life was a life of generosity. He fed the hungry, clothed the naked, healed the sick, fed the poor, took care of the poor, caused the lame to walk and the blind to see. He walked from town to town and village to village, doing good for people. The only thing he ever did was good, good for other people. He gave up his time. He poured out his life for others. At the end of his life, he gave the ultimate gift, the gift of his own life, on the cross for all of us, for our sins. Jesus demonstrates what it means to be generous. In fact, Jesus demonstrates what it means to excel in generosity. Which at the end of all this, that's what Paul says. You excel in a number of things. Do you excel in generosity? And Paul there is saying, take a close look at your life. How generous are you? And that applies to all of us today. It's great that you excel in your faith. It's great that you excel in your speech. But do you also excel in generosity? In just sharing what you have with other people? And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to be generous people. So, learn from Jesus. Study Jesus and learn from him. Generosity begins by surrender, giving your life to God. It's also an act of grace. Because of what God has done, we are generous. And we learn more about generosity when we look at Jesus. I want to end this lesson with a quote from Stephen King, okay? I know, I hesitate to even mention his name. Stephen King is the author of The Shining, Shawshank Redemption. Most people don't know that. They like the movie. Don't realize that Stephen King wrote the story. Misery, Carrie, and about 50 other books. So if you want to get up and leave right now because I'm quoting from Stephen King in church, I understand that. I get that. But it's a great quote. It's a really, really good quote. Stephen King was struck by a van. It was a hit and run. And he knocked, he would go on afternoon walks, and every afternoon he would take a walk, and this afternoon a guy with a criminal background was driving a van and accidentally hit him but just kept on going. And it threw him over into the ditch, and he thought he was going to die. He thought, there's no way I'm going to get out of this. It was a super, super long recovery for him to get back to physical health again. And so after his long trip back to being able to walk again and his long recovery, he wrote this: I found out what "you can't take it with you" means. I found out while I was lying in the ditch on the side of a country road covered with mud and blood and with the tibia of my right leg poking out of the side of my jeans like a branch of a tree taken down in a thunderstorm. I had a MasterCard in my wallet. When you're lying in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. We all know that life is ephemeral, but on that particular day and in the months that followed, I got a painful but extremely valuable look at life's simple backstage truths. He goes on to write, "We come in naked and broke. We may be dressed up when we go out, but we're just as broke. Warren Buffett is going to go out broke. Bill Gates is going to go out broke. Tom Hanks is going to go out broke. Stephen King, broke. Not a crying dime. All the money you earn, all the stocks you buy, all the mutual funds you trade, are all mostly smoke and mirrors. So I want you to consider making your life one long gift to others. And why not? All you have is on loan anyway. All that lasts is what you pass on. We have the power to help, the power to change. And why should we refuse? Because we're going to take it with us? Oh, please. Right now, we have the power to do great good for others." He says, "So I ask you to begin giving and to continue as you began. I think you'll find in the end that you got far more than you ever had and did more good than you ever dreamed." That's a great quote. You know, even though he is a Red Sox fan, that is a great, great quote. So if you don't take it from me, take it from Stephen King. Be generous. You can't take it with you. So be generous. Start giving and keep that heart of generosity going. But more importantly, take it from Paul and take it from Jesus, who was so generous and excelled in generosity so much that he gave his life for all of us, asking us to do the same. How are you doing excelling in generosity? Take this grace that God has given us, and let's make sure that we have an attitude of, I want to give. I get to give. And I really want to be generous with my life. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast. For more information about our ministry or to attend a church service, please visit our website at hvregion.com.